I have a prophecy too. Stick up for me. Focus on me and stick up for me. Quit sticking up for other people and worry about what other people think. If you want me to stick up for you, you better stick up for me first and my son. And as you do that by searching the scriptures, everything else will come into fruition. Amen. Okay, so there's pencils and pens. You grab a pen. And before we go into the teaching, there's some important things to understand about what some of the facts are going to be based off of. The facts are going to be off of E.W. Bollinger, for us, we're very familiar with him here, but for anybody else that ever gets to listen to us and read this, are you reading the questions? Good. Got some stumpers there, or some outlandish stuff. What's real important when anybody says they're a biblical scholar, everybody's a biblical scholar, everybody's pastor is a biblical scholar, they know everything. You go, how many church traditions have they debunked? Have they ever debunked a church tradition? Or do they verify church traditions? And if they verify church traditions, then we should be able to go, whatever their research is, what's more important than is blending in, not the word. Jesus Christ was not born December 25th. If they've never taught you that, Jesus Christ did not die on Good Friday and get up Sunday. He was dead for 72 hours, the sign of Jonah. If you're taught he died on Good Friday, get up Sunday, why aren't they teaching you? Either your teacher doesn't know this, the odds are they do, they're teaching you what tradition. So when you go to this scholar here, that scholar here, just show me where they break away from the flock. Show me some serious things. Show that the scripture show the dead are asleep. That is blasphemy to Christians today. E.W. Bollinger will show you the dead are asleep. It's right there. It's everywhere. It didn't say the dead are in heaven. It didn't say the dead are in a better place. They're asleep. Dust you are, dust you are, dust you'll be until our resurrection. You're dead, dead, dead. Where does it say who the creator was? Yahweh's a creator. The scriptures say that. Who is Jesus' father? It says Yahweh. What is Jesus' real name? The Greeks called him Iesus. But was Jesus a Greek? I work for a client. He was from Argentina. His name is Guillermo. Gringos call him Billy. Is his name Billy?
No.
No, it's not. And so the Greeks called Jesus Iesus, but it's Yehoshua. And if these guys have never taught you, this is infant stuff, then you should go back and go, or they just verify what people are saying. Okay, not to pick on them. E.W. Bollinger was not perfect, but he separated himself over and over and over again, showing there's four crucified with Christ. Here's the scriptures. The dead are not alive. Here's the scriptures. There is no torture chamber called hell in the scriptures. Here's the scriptures. A rich man and Lazarus, here's the scriptures and the rest of the stuff. So this guy's got a resume of showing what's more important, him blending in or the scriptures. He was not perfect. But, so that's going to be a start. What we're looking at, E.W. Bollinger's Appendix 57 and 50. I've been given the handouts and I have an attachment that we might be able to, I don't know if we can add it to the teaching afterwards. But some important things about E.W. Bollinger and what his timelines too. Is because he's consistently, as you look at this guy, other people go, yeah, this is a great teacher. Will they say Yahweh's name? No. They won't even say that their creator's, well, we call him the Lord. They're embarrassed of their creator's name? That is not somebody faithful to the text. Did they tell you his name is written 6,800 times? Did they tell you Jesus' name is Yehoshua? Okay, so what we got to do is go, okay, so I say all that because if you don't know E.W. Bollinger, so what? There's all kinds of scholars out there, scholars this and scholars that. But E.W. Bollinger opens up something incredible. And in order to understand the teaching on E.W. Bollinger, we got to learn about this guy. Who is this guy? Herodotus. Now, this is just something I pulled off and I did not verify. It's the history. There's all kinds of things on. I thought it was Herodias, but it's Herodotus. And he's, if you read through, if somebody would just read the first two paragraphs on that, please.
Herodotus was a Greek writer who invented the field of study known today as history.
But you forgot the time period. From 484 to 425 to 413 BC. That's really important. Okay.
He was called the father of history by the Roman writer and orator Cicero for his famous work, The Histories, but has also been called the father of lies by critics who claim these histories are little more than tall tales.
You can read the rest, but for the sake of time, but they're going to go on and say he was the father of historians. No, Yahweh's the historian. The non-biblical historian. We see what time he was. Moses was the 1490s. Okay, was Moses a historian? Yeah, he penned Genesis. But for an unbeliever, he was a Greek, his name's Herodotus. And what's important about this guy, Herodotus, is he wrote about these kings with different names. Is president a proper name?
No.
No. Somebody says president. Which president? Artaxerxes, Ahasuerus. Now I'm saying it the way Word of Promise. This is not the actual pronunciation. If you want to know how to pronounce it, go to blueletterbible.com. Darius or Darius. These are titles. They're not names. And what Herodotus will do in appendix, you turn back here to page 2. And E.W. Bollinger is going to explain some things. It's so important about it. Now, we're not going to read all of what E.W. Bollinger says, but turn back to the front page. What time period was Herodotus?
484 through 425 or 413.
Four 80s. Let's say we'll just stick to the first ones. Say 484 to 425 BC goes backwards. By the way, okay. Now turn to the second page to the timeline. E. W. Bollinger's timeline. So when was he born, Rachel? When was he born on this timeline? Did you see anybody else? I got a circle at number one.
Who are you asking? When was who born? Herodotus.
Herodotus. What time period? Look at the number one. There's a circle. What's this? Who's it talking about right there in the number
Jeremiah.
One?
Jeremiah.
Jeremiah. He was born around the same time that Jeremiah started. Okay, 484, or I guess it'd be number two. It would not number one. It'd be number two. Excuse me. So number two. See, right over the 480s. Yeah, right before Jeremiah had been prophesied for 23 years. Why is that important? Because the time, the period that he was actually living, guess who's alive?
Yeah.
Jeremiah's alive. Keep reading. Who else is alive? Daniel's alive. Who else is alive during his lifetime? Ezra is alive. Pretty important. Who's Ezra?
Prophet.
He rebuilt the temple. Who else is alive during his time period? Nehemiah is alive during his time period. Who else is alive? Darius is alive. Nebuchadnezzar is alive during his time period. If you get to the very end, at the end of his life, he's alive right around when Cyrus starts. There's a chance that the last year of his life that he knew about Cyrus. He's alive during these time periods. Interesting, right? It's not like somebody writing from 3,000 years ago or 800 years ago, these traditions. So you can say, okay, this is like me writing about World War II, what my grandfather possibly said. So the time period of Herodotus is important. That's not what the teaching's about. But we go back to the Appendix 57. What E.W. Bollinger's going to say is, if you look over here on the right-hand side, the right page, it's going to talk about, see, Herodotus, Lydian line, and then to the right, Herodotus, the Byzantine rock. And we're going to just focus on the one to the right. What E.W. Bollinger is going to say is, according to this historian who lived during the time periods that we're going to be discussing today, go down to that second circle under number one. You see A-S-T-Y-A-G-E-S?
C-Y-A-X, that one?
No, you see number five by Astyages?
Astyages.
Okay, what's right to the right of his name? Esther, right? You see that?
Married Esther.
He married Esther. this guy, one of his names is Astyages or whatever. He, this guy, marries Esther. What's his other names? So that's Herodias is the first name. That's what his name is. Ahasuerus in the book of Esther is his name in that. So King Ahasuerus marries Esther. Artaxerxes in the book of, see, what books is he in?
Ezra and Nehemiah.
Nehemiah, the building of the wall and the building of the temple. This same guy is married to Esther. Underneath him, Darius the Median is the same guy, and he's in the book Esther. What's important about this is that he's, if you read through this, E.W. Bohr going to say this is what Herodias says. There's going to be other monuments that they found that years and years later they found that actually validated. One of them will be on the next page of this appendix. And there's, here it is. Here's the lineage showing this guy and this guy and this guy is on the side of a mountain. It's 500 feet up the inscriber so nobody could destroy it. And he said when they found this, what did it verify? What Herodias said. See the cylinder over here, the cylinder of Cyrus?
What page are you on?
The same page with Ahasuerus, Artaxerxes.
I don't see a cylinder.
Okay, look where I'm pointing. Yeah. It'll be over here.
I'm sorry.
I should do this anyways for anybody else. Over here you see the cylinder of Cyrus, and guess what that cylinder said? They found hundreds, maybe thousands of years after Herodias was recorded. Guess what it said? And verify what Herodias says. Therefore, E.W. Bullinger is going to say, these other two rocks, these ancient inscriptions they find thousands of years later, verify what Herodias said.
Huh.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, that's real important. And that's why he's going to say this. Then you see down here, Cyrus the Persian. Okay. And so then we're going to use this as a template to look at some of these. I'm going to make some claims tonight that's going to sound preposterous. Crazy. And some of the stuff I found on my own, and then I found E.W. Bullinger verified. I was like, whoa, look at that. So now we'll go to the questions. So you have your pen there, and this could be good for anybody. And this would be good for people to say, you think your teacher is a really mature teacher? There's a lot of different tests. But you do the same thing. This isn't picking a fight. And you could tell them these answers without the verses and ask them, if any of this things could be validated, most is going to be thrown out. The first one is, okay, under Queen Hadassah, husband's facts. Here's some facts about her husband. I didn't know hardly any of this stuff. Number one, who was it said of that was set over his kingdom? You can guess.
I don't know what that means.
So it's a quote. This guy was set over Hadassah's husband's kingdom.
Mordecai. Before that, you mean?
Before Mordecai.
Hananiah, or what is his name?
Daniel.
Oh.
Daniel. And then we'll come back and I'll show you the scriptures. Okay. So this is for the shock effect. Hmm. Number two, who was set to be next to this king? The scripture says he was next to the king. Mordecai. You're telling me Daniel and Mordecai, one was set over the kingdom, the other one was next to the king? Would you have ever gotten that out of the book of Esther?
No.
No?
I just finished reading.
Whoa, wait a minute, because when I read the book of Esther, I think of her and Mordecai all on their own on the island. When I read about Daniel, I think about Daniel all on the island. When I read about Jeremiah is all on an island. Now we're going to go down to Jeremiah facts. This is what got me really excited. What is an interesting fact about Jeremiah's first 5 years of his ministry?
Close.
They didn't have the word. There was no scripture.
Oh.
And then we'll come back and I'll show you the scriptures on this. He's prophesying, saying, thus saith Yahweh. Daniel's going to be about the same time as Jeremiah. Did you guys know that Daniel and Jeremiah probably knew each other? Well, we know Jeremiah wrote to him because his name's in the book of Jeremiah, but we're going to find out that Daniel, he was a youth. How young was he? We're not quite sure. But Daniel, there's a good chance he knew Jeremiah. Mm-hmm. But Daniel doesn't even say Yahweh's name. It could have been nobody saying Yahweh, right?
No.
But here's Jeremiah saying it. But the first 5 years of his ministry, they don't have the scriptures. Have you guys ever tried to witness to somebody that doesn't have an accurate Bible?
Yep.
Did they have scrolls?
Mm-hmm.
during because it was Josiah. Did they have things they could read? Oh, they had their church tradition. They could read all right. But what were they reading? They were reading the New Living Translations of Moses' oral traditions or whatever they were doing. So his first 5 years, I bet you he was banging his head against the wall. He's a prophet. Mm-hmm. Number two, who was Jeremiah's father? I didn't know this either. His name was Hilkiah.
Hilkiah?
Hilkiah.
Huh.
Number three, what was Jeremiah's father's position? Didn't know this either today. Did you know Jeremiah's father was a high priest?
I think.
We'll come right back. I'll show you all the scriptures. You go, wait a minute. Jeremiah's father was a high priest? Did not know that. And that's going to be based off E.W. Bolinger. And then he'll show you the scriptures. After that, number four, what is his father most famous for? This guy Hilkiah. I doubt you know it because you did not. He's the one that found the scroll.
Oh, yeah. He didn't find it. He gave it to the king, right?
He found it. Oh. Underneath 4A, 4B, what did he find? According to E.W. Bolinger, he found the original manuscript of Moses. And I'll show you the scripture on that, too. Not only did he find it, today we'll show people the Rotherham Bible is the most accurate thing, is the Hebrew and Greek. They open it up, they see Yahweh, what do they do with it? They close it. I don't want it. Here's Jeremiah prophesying for 5 years, probably saying Yahweh. He was saying Yahweh. You can see what he was saying. You see the very beginning. You're not a youth, Jeremiah. Go in there. And Yahweh tells him all the stuff he's going to be going through. They don't even have a scripture for 5 years. And then when they do find the scriptures, I'll show you the verses. I'm like, what do you think they read? It just verified everything Yahweh said through the prophet.
Yeah.
And how did they, and what was the response when they finally find this original scroll? It wasn't the latest translation. The New Living Translation of the Book of Exodus. The oral traditions of Aaron handed down the Talmud or whatever. They got the autograph, or close to the autograph, according to E.W. Bolinger, of what Moses said. Look at this thing. This is 400, when was Moses? 1490s? It's a 1,000-year-old manuscript. Can you imagine them looking at this? Dude, is this real? And they're looking at it, going, what does it say? Thus saith Yahweh. Who's Yahweh? Maybe Jeremiah guy's talking about him all the time. Yahweh's name's not in Daniel's vocabulary. And I bet you it wasn't in anybody's vocabulary here either. Because one of the first things the adversary does is remove Yahweh's name in captivities. They weren't into Babylonian or Persian captivity or Assyrian right now, but they're in a captivity of idolatry and all kinds of wicked things. Now we're going to go down to some more exciting stuff. King Cyrus facts. Okay, King Cyrus. Everybody knows that. All right, King Cyrus, I'm going to build the temple. Who is this guy? Today, they'll say he was a pagan king. They'll say he was this. Those are traditions.
Yes.
We're going to show you scriptures. Who was Cyrus? Who were King Cyrus' father's most trusted servants? Why is that important? Do you think Cyrus was raised under his father's tutelage? Is it tutelage? Is that the right word? Do you think Cyrus knew who his father's most trusted advisors were? Do you think Donald Trump's sons knew who his dad confides in? Absolutely. I put down four different names. Counselors and advisors. And we'll get to read, we don't have time to read it here, but you guys get to read what Cyrus's father thought about these guys. And what you're going to find out is Cyrus's father was more of a Hebrew than Josiah. That Josiah would have been Manasseh and all the kings after. Now, they weren't perfect. Neither was Nebuchadnezzar, but they're the lesser of evils. Nebuchadnezzar had his own gods and stuff, but he wasn't fighting Yahweh for the most part. Number one, can you imagine King Cyrus before he becomes a king? Who was one of my dad's famous handyman? Number one, Daniel. Mm-hmm. What did Daniel do? Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel in the lion's den. Did the God who you serve continually say to you? Guess who said that?
King.
Cyrus's father. Cyrus's father said that. Do you think Cyrus ever heard that?
Yeah, bet you did.
That his father threw these people into the lion's den after that tricked them? Guess who else is going to be tricked like this? No, I guess that was the second time. Because the same, and the reason why we don't know these things is because of the names. Ahasuerus, Darius, Artaxerxes. Number two, when another one of his famous, Mordecai, of the book of Esther. After that, Nehemiah. What did Nehemiah do? After that, Ezra. All these people, Daniel, Mordecai, Nehemiah, and Ezra, were all part of Cyrus's father's life. Wow! That doesn't sound like islands and different things, does it? And then you go down, what are these guys famous for? All before King Cyrus is king. Let's see here. Oh, Daniel, quoted in Daniel 6:1, he was over all the kingdom. After the lion's den, he's over everything. Mordecai, at the end of Esther 10, verse 2 and 3, we'll go there if we have time. What happened to Mordecai? He was sitting next to the king. Right? Ezra, what did he do? He rebuilt it. We'll go to Nehemiah first. Nehemiah, because he built the wall before the temple.
The wall.
Nehemiah, what did he do? He went before Cyrus's father and says, how can I not be sad? What is it you desire? Here's Esther beside this king going, go build it. Where's Cyrus at the time? Because someone's really, where was Cyrus at the time? Where was Cyrus? Well, we don't know the ages of these people. Or will we? We're going to find some ages here in a second. Nehemiah rebuilt the wall, or Ezra rebuilt the temple. Wait a minute, I thought Cyrus rebuilt the temple. Ezra rebuilding the temple. So Cyrus does say that in Chronicles. But Ezra was not under Cyrus. Ezra was under Cyrus's father. Mm. So when Cyrus starts all the rest of this stuff, this pagan king, are you kidding me? His father is more of a Hebrew than most of the Hebrews. Because the scripture says, a Hebrew is not somebody who's circumcised. It's circumcised of the heart.
Yeah.
And who was circumcised of the heart? If you have Daniel as an advisor, Mordecai, Ezra, and Nehemiah, that's a heck of a lot better than King Saul. Now, here's something that got really, really wild. I'll come back and show you the scriptures. How long was David, verse 1, Jeremiah and Daniel facts? All we know about Daniel's age is he was a bud of youth. Okay, but he was going to serve in the king's palace, and he's going to be raised up for 3 years if you read the beginning of Daniel. So he's not going to be a four-year-old, 3 years as a seven-year-old. I don't know how old he's going to be. But if he's going to be a part of the king's palace, maybe he's 10, maybe he's 13, I don't know. Scriptures aren't clear, as far as I know. How long was Jeremiah a prophet before Daniel was taken? 23 years. How famous? E.W. Bullinger points that out, too. And you're like, what? So when Daniel was carried away for idolatry, he could have still been hearing the words of the prophet in his own ear. I know who Jeremiah is. Well, wait a minute. It doesn't say Daniel and Jeremiah knew each other back then. Well, let's just talk. What kind of guy was Daniel? Righteous people. So anyways, then Hadassah's husband's facts. Interesting. Oh, this gets really wild. How old was Hadassah's husband when he became king? I googled it. We can't tell. I found it. Daniel chapter 5, verse 31. We'll go there in a second. He was 62 years old when he became king. How old was this king's, Hadassah's husband, Cyrus's father? Wait, he's 62? The book of Esther. How old was he when the book of Esther starts? 65. How could you say that? Because Esther 1 verse 3 says it was the third year of his reign. It's the same guy. He's 65 years old before he meets Esther. Man, okay. And then I'll go to some other stuff. So now we'll go into. Now you gotta back it all up. The first one would be, and we'll be referencing the timelines. So what's neat? If you look back here on the appendix 50. Yeah, and I was like, do you know how many times I've studied this thing and I didn't get it? Look right here, number one. You see where my finger is? What's it say right above the number one? Somebody would read that for me. The whole thing. The book.
Anyone? Isaiah's.
Nope. Above number one.
Jeremiah begins in something.
Yeah, the right underneath that paragraph, the second paragraph.
And something, a period of...
The book found... See, the book found by Jeremiah's father, Hilkiah. You guys see that?
Nope.
Look where I'm pointing.
Oh, I'm over on... Okay, sorry.
E.W. Bolinger is going to say the book was found 517 B.C. And he also has it in the Passover year. By who? Jeremiah's father, Hilkiah. Does he have a chapter and verse there? He does. Let's take a look. Well, we'll come back to it. Let me go back to start over. I'll try to keep things organized. Question number one. Turn to Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. And if you get a page number, call it out so we can go faster. And so it's real important. It's for all this to decode it. Herodotus, E.W. Bolinger. I don't know anything about Herodotus, but E.W. Bolinger is faithful, not perfect. Ahasuerus, Artaxerxes, Darius the Mede are all the same man. Okay? So when you see Darius or Darius in the book of Daniel, it's talking about Esther's husband. Okay? So turn to Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. Okay.
What page is it?
851. Who is set up over his kingdom? And so if you'll read right above it, Darius the Mede. Actually, read the verse right there. I'll answer my other question. 531, would somebody read that?
And Darius the Mede received the kingdom when about 62 years of age.
So it didn't say 62, it did say about. He was about 62 years old. Who was Darius the Mede? What are his other names? This is the same guy. Ahasuerus in the book of Esther, Artaxerxes in Ezra and Nehemiah, and Darius the Median in Daniel 5. Okay? So how old was he? Let me see here. Oh, yeah, so I digressed. Now, who was set up over the kingdom? Chapter 6, verse 1. Somebody read that.
It was pleasing before Darius that he should set up over the kingdom 120 satraps, that they should be over all the kingdom. And over these, three confidential ministers, of whom Daniel was first.
So Daniel was first of all these guys. I guess I had set up, so it should have been Daniel was first. Okay. And as long as we're on the subject of the age of this guy, we'll answer the other one. So you could keep your finger here, turn to the book of Esther, the big left, Esther, Job, page 493. So how, let's see here, 531, Darius and me received the kingdom when he was about 62 years of age.
That's what he reading?
That was back in Daniel, so I'm okay. Just giving a summation or whatever. And I'm kind of going off the script here. Esther chapter 1, verse 3. Would somebody read that?
In the third year of his reign, he made a banquet unto all his rulers and his servants.
What did Daniel say? How old was he when he started?
Yeah, about 62.
About 62. 3 years later, he's about 65. So Esther, she married an old dude.
and she had to be all in training
okay.
for a whole year.
Okay, so there's... we forgot number two. Who was next to the king? Turn to Esther chapter 10. Esther chapter 10. It's the same guy, Darius Ahasuerus. Chapter 10. Proverbs 25 said, "It is the glory of Elohim to conceal a matter, and the glory of Meleks, or kings, to search him out." I think it's Meleks. I think it's kings. Could be princes. And here's Yahweh. Why these different titles? You got to work for this thing. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ spoke in, or Yahushua spoke in parables. If you're not going to explain it, I'm not going to sit around. Good, it's not for you. If you're not going to work, this job, this life is about job applications. If somebody doesn't fill out an application, are they going to get the job?
Nope.
No. Be seeking, be asking. Here this is. Why don't you just write this out? Well, because then you couldn't earn anything. It's like wax on, wax off. Chapter 10, verse 2 and 3. Please, somebody read that. Actually, verse 1. And King Ahasuerus, Esther's husband, laid tribute upon the land and upon the stores of the sea and all the acts of the authority, that he might, and his might, and the clear story of the promotion of Mordecai, wherewith the king promoted him, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? Tell me, Daniel. Who was the other guy? Oh, Daniel and Mordecai could have known each other?
Mm-hmm.
According to this, Daniel was before Haman.
Yeah, in this court.
Because you just read the book of Esther, it's this pagan thing, but wait a minute. This same king has Daniel in the first year. His first year, Daniel's over this stuff. The third year, then here's Mordecai. I'm going to go, man, there's a chance. It doesn't say Mordecai or Mordecai. And Daniel ever talked to me to go, I had no idea. This is the same time period. And it's the same king.
Yeah.
Now turn down to Jeremiah facts. Turn to, okay. Well, the first 5 years of his ministry, there's no scroll of the law. He's prophesying to people that had no Bible. Okay, can you imagine that? Couldn't we just found the scroll 5 years earlier to verify that? What did I tell you, Jeremiah? Head of Flint or whatever, you're going to be a fortified city. And here he is. You know what? I bet you he might have thought those things, but at the resurrection, when he's getting his reward, guess what he's going to be thinking? I wouldn't change a thing. I earned it all.
Yeah.
Okay, somebody would read, let's see here. Jeremiah 1 verse 2. I'm not there. If you have a page number, give it to me. Thank you. Perfect. Okay, so then this is where E.W. Bullinger, as I was doing the study, all of a sudden I found out Jeremiah's father's the high priest? How did I not know that? And I thought that I figured out that Jeremiah was prophesying 5 years before. And then I went back to Bullinger's timeline. He already had it. Man, I thought he was going to be famous. Could have been somebody. Okay, 1 verse 1. Let somebody read that.
The word of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anatoth, in the land of Benjamin, unto whom came the word of Yahweh, in the days of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign.
In the 13th year of who?
King Josiah.
Josiah. It does say his dad's a priest here, but it doesn't say he's a high priest. And this happens, and then you just start reading the beginning. Before I knew you, alas, you start reading the beginning of his ministry. Wow, 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 Jeremiah. But why is that important? You might keep a finger here in case we have to come back to it. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 22. They call it page number.
Did you say 32 or
22? 406. Okay, you guys there?
Yep.
And here's Josiah, and it starts off that he was righteous in verse 2, and he walked in all the ways of David his father. How did he do that without scriptures? And you know what this reminds me of, this account right here? Because Josiah is getting ready to rip his shirt, his clothing, right? And it reminds me of David when Uzziah is killed by Yahweh for touching the ark. Was David chosen? Yeah. Was David right? Righteous? But he had a lot of cleaning up to do. Mm-hmm. And David had not known the scroll. David did not maliciously. He just didn't know the Levites were supposed to be carrying it. And it makes me think of what happens here with Josiah. So Josiah is really a type of David. But if you turn, let's see here, verse 3, somebody read that.
And it came to pass in the 18th
year. In the 18th year, when did Jeremiah start? Did you keep your finger there?
13th year.
13th year. How many years is this later? 5 years later. And you go down to verse 8.
Yeah, the high.
What's it? Who is that?
Hilkiah.
Who is that?
Jeremiah's
father. Jeremiah's father, and what's his position? He's the high priest. Is Jeremiah righteous? Understatement.
Yeah.
Who is his father? The high priest. What's his father going to find? According to E.W. Bolger? Not just a scroll. Like one of these scrolls, the original scrolls. Because then we come over here, the book of the law have I found in the house of Yahweh. And E.W. Bolger has a note here, and he goes, where did he find this book? In the library, over in the seminary.
Nope.
This is where all the priests are taught. Did Hilkiah have this? Did Hilkiah know this, and was he withholding it from his king? No. Yeah. Where was it found?
In verse, another place.
In verse 8. The book of the law have I found where?
In the house of Yahweh.
In the house of Yahweh. And according to Deuteronomy 31, 24 through 26, Yahweh tells Moses, it's like the original copy, you stick it here. And so that's a whole other thing. So he didn't just find something, but you find a 1,000-year-old manuscript. Can you imagine that if pastors did have a good heart? You might well stand up. I just stand up so you don't have to fight it. You'll miss the whole teaching. But finding here's validated. This is Moses' handwriting. And if a pastor had a good heart, he'd be looking at this going, how can his name be Yahweh? How can this be? These other things. And here was Hilkiah the high priest. And who was there during all this time? Jeremiah. And then when you read on in verse 10, it's Shaphan the scribe told the king. So Hilkiah tells Shaphan in verse 10. Shaphan goes and tells you better go tell the king. And in verse 10, a book hath Hilkiah the priest delivered unto me. And I believe that was probably a warning. Boss, when you my dad will say it, if you need to confront me, you need to correct me, do it. Just let me know, and we'll set up. My dad's like, we'll set an appointment. So organized, the accountant, the editor, and here it was. I bet you, go tell him whenever he's ready. We got some bad news. And so when they read this, verse 11, what happens when he reads it? And it came to pass when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he rent his clothes. And the king commanded who? Jeremiah's dad.
Yeah,
that's Jeremiah's dad. Didn't know that. I didn't know that till today. Man, okay. What was his father's position? Was he famous for finding like the original handwritten through Moses, 1,000-year-old document? Who? Jeremiah's going to write to another king. He's going to cut it up and throw it in the penknife, right? Yeah. But who was getting this? Josiah was going to get to see this. Is he a righteous king? It says in this year, according to our timeline, the same year, go back to this real quick. If you look at verse 1, where the book of the law is found, number 1, go to the left of it. What happens right after this? To the right of that little line. The Passover. It's like the greatest Passover since Moses.
Yeah.
How much did that bless Yahweh? What happens when Josiah gets to see this? Holy moly! Here's Hilkiah! Here's Jeremiah! The biggest Passover ever. Okay. Back to the script. King Cyrus facts. Well, we read about Daniel. We read about Mordecai. Nehemiah, you can look that up yourself. But you'd want to use this. Nehemiah is going to be Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1. And Artaxerxes in Ezra is chapter 16, verse 14. And that's where you see Daniel's first, then you got Mordecai, Ezra rebuild the temple. If you go back to the timeline also, you'll get to see what E.W. Bolger is going to say. Number 3. After Josiah goes to sleep, Josiah dies. Then there's, I think, 2 kings before him, but it says, can you guys read what it says in the third circle, the circle with number 3?
Jeremiah has been prophesying for, I think, 23 years. I can't get the number right.
23 years before Daniel was taken to Babylon.
Yeah.
How famous was Jeremiah at this time? Daniel, how old was he? We're not quite sure. But I never thought about when you get ready to read the book of Daniel, Daniel possibly saying goodbye to Jeremiah. Jeremiah looking at Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, what are their names? Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Jeremiah watching and going, but now when you read the book of Daniel and you start seeing these things all coming together, you're going to go, wow, this is the same king. This is the same guy. And then you read the book of Esther about that same king. It's all Esther's husband.
Yeah.
You're in charge. If anybody says anything about this God, kill him. The same guy, he's there with Daniel. Throw him in the lion's den. If anybody says anything about it, it's the same guy. And so, let's see here. So that was that. And then, yeah, and so, and then just like the Daniel facts. And so, I'm getting a lot of this because I'm reading cover to cover. And when you're reading, and I'm not a reader, I'm the weakest reader in this room by far. When you read 10 chapters, it probably takes me 6.5 hours. But when you're reading everything like this, all of a sudden when you go to the next book and then the next book, wait, I just got done reading Jeremiah. And I'm in Daniel. I got through Ezra, I forgot who was in between. All of a sudden you're going, wait a minute. Then all of a sudden all these things start blending together. Yeah. And if these things, today, Yahweh has revealed to me, only thing that I knew really before this day and today was a couple things from E.W. Bulger's appendix, because my father pointed it out, the appendix showing that Cyrus was the most likely son of Esther. And then Dad said, here's Mordecai, Ezra, Nehemiah. I knew those things. I was like, how can this be? You read that? But now that after today you get to find these things out, that we get to find how old he was?
Yeah.
They go, man. And then how many years after that? And so, yeah, okay, but Father, that's it. So, Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you that if at least for people that have read through the word that know all the stories, I hope that they're at least half as excited as I was today, and I am. We thank you that if we didn't know these things today, what else don't we know? And your word and your scripture says, be seeking, be asking, be knocking. And we thank you for those people that have gone before us to help us seek you out. And we thank you for showing us how we are to glorify you. And whether people follow us and whether we can relay this or if anybody else cares, you care. And we choose to stick up for you and pursue you even if nobody else follows. We'd be like Peter. Where you go, I'm going to go. And know, my children, that I am your father. And I understand all the heavy things on your heart. I see the contaminations. I see the parasites. And a lot of you guys are covered in parasites because of your lifestyle. I don't turn on the lights because if you saw how many things are infecting you, it would just overwhelm you. But I want to debug you and I want to cleanse you because you got things clinging to you. And how do I do this? I tell you to spend time with me. And the longer time you spend in the light, these parasites and these lusts of the flesh, these pleasures that you've become accustomed to, they will start dissolving. And your throbbing heart, which was designed to love me, will grow bigger and bigger, and I'll give you all the desires of your heart if you follow through.